Greetings and welcome, everybody, to Great American Golf. Ray Adams, your caddy for the show, with you right here, right now, all hour. Lots going on this Great American Golf. Well, I guess we should be calling it a podcast, everybody, because that's when you have a radio show that you stream on the internet. And of course, we're on golfnewsnet.com. And it airs there three or four times during the day of recording, Saturday in this case, the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on Monday evenings. But then it is sent over to all these great platforms like Pandora and Amazon, Apple iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and more. So wherever you get your podcast, make sure you go to the golfnewsnet.com. You can listen to it at our right times there that we're always on for 25 years. But then when it gets sent over, it lives on those platforms. You can download their apps, listen in the car, do whatever you want to do. I'm at golfadams at msn.com. Golfadams at msn.com. Do you have any upcoming charity golf events, nonprofit organizational events going on, walkathons, bowl-a-thons, whatever it is, golf events, you let me know, and I'm going to promote them, because we're in a position now with all of the streaming we're doing to not just hit the Phoenix area, all over Arizona, but all over the USA, and these shows live there for as long as, well, these platforms live there. So I guess the word is forever. I also want to let you know that we're in a big week here in Phoenix, Arizona, and for women's golf. And we'll talk a little bit more about the LPGA later. But I've got to tell you right now that this week is a huge week, because we're in the middle of the Epson Tour, which is the road to the LPGA, Carlisle, Arizona Women's Golf Classic. Now, you know, I've been talking about it for 2 months on every radio show. Ads are airing on my television show, Match Play with Ray Adams. Also right here on the golfnewsnet.com, you go into the TV tab and my show is right there. And you'll find it there and it will stay there, as well as a lot of other places. But the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic is brought to you and made possible with the largest purse all year on the Epson Tour by the Carlisle Company's investment in women's golf. It's a $400,000 purse. Such a big purse that you've got LPGA Tour players like Sophia Popoff, like Christy Kerr, playing in this Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic. And that leaderboard is right with Sophia Popoff right now. And of course, we're following Ashley Menny. She's sponsored by Carlisle. And she was on the show. We did a video with her that's up on my various digital platforms at Match Play TV. You want to see all my videos on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube? You go to Match Play TV. If you want to see them on LinkedIn, well, you go to Ray Adams. Super. Anyway, the tournament is finishing up Saturday and Sunday, today and tomorrow. Check out your leaderboard and check out your tee times. You're going to be a part of history with this record high purse. And you're going to see the future stars of the LPGA Tour as they tee it up here in Scottsdale at the TPC Champions Course. Super beautiful. Tickets are $12. And they have a cocktail and craft beer fest later today from 1 to 4 p.m. right there at the golf course. Get your tickets. You go to CarlisleLPGA.com. And it's now time to recommend that we listen to the one and only Mr. Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America, historian emeritus, and the one and only Mr. Craig Renshaw, our PGA of America golf professional. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ray.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for the introduction.
I'll tell you, these ladies know how to play some serious golf. I've been watching the tournament that's going on in New Jersey, seeing the beautiful Statue of Liberty, seeing the New York skyline. Misty weather, looks like it's a little chilly there. They all have on ski caps, they have on their rain gear. I've seen drops on the camera lenses. Bob, let me go to you real quick. What about this LPGA event?
Well, it's one of the great courses that have been put up in the last 50 years within the New Jersey, New York area. It's got a tremendous views, as you mentioned, Liberty National Golf Club. And right now there's a three-way tie for first heading into to the weekend with Nelly Korda, Andrea Lee, and Korea's Somi Lee at 8 under par. So it's great to see that. Great to see that going. And that's a fun golf course to walk around as well as play. And it's got some very good guidelines and guardrails, so to speak. And so it was really well laid out. And they were lucky to get the property that they did, which overlooked the Statue of Liberty.
Well, those cut lines at the Epson Tour event here in Scottsdale at the TPC Champions for the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic, and now, of course, this golf tournament there in New Jersey. This golf tournament has quite a history, Bob, and it's the Mizuho Americas Open, but it hasn't always been named that. And as I said, the weather looks a little bit inclement. The ladies are playing right on through, and yes, cuts are there and done with Somi Lee. But then Nelly Korda and Andrea Lee are USA ladies right there. So we're going to be watching that this weekend, having a lot of fun to do that. They're on the race to the CME Globe. There's loads and loads of more golf coming up. Where are the ladies headed, Bob?
Well, after this, they head on to Mexico, to the Mexico Riviera Maya Open on May 22nd. They get a little time off. And then right after that is the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
You know, I've noticed during the broadcast that they're spending a lot of time at this tournament, Craig and Bob, on Natalia Gusova. She's a Russian player, wonderful young lady. I interviewed her at the Ford Championship a few weeks ago, and I've got that interview. I may play it again. She gave me her cell number, said, call me anytime. Love to come on the show with you live, and we will get Natalia Gusova to do that. But I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but as I'm watching the tournament, they're spending a lot of time focusing on her, and she really is not, I mean, on the leaderboard so much, but I think that they believe that she is really their upcoming, one of their upcoming stars, and I do too. So, yes, we've just got a great event going on there. At Liberty National Golf Club, and they're headed to Cancun. Of course, the Epson Tour right here this week, we've talked about it. And then they head over to Copper Rock Golf Club over in Hurricane, Utah. I've never been there. I don't know much about it, but we're going to keep following both of these ladies' tours as we go forward. All right, Craig, what's going on with the guys? We had a big live event going on. And we have some little, words going on there. But then, of course, the PGA Tour is at this Truist. What do you make of it?
Well, they're at Philly Cricket, which is a phenomenal golf course. I played it many, many moons ago. Great little golf course, great area. Lots of good golf courses in that area. And we have Keith Mitchell after 61 yesterday. He's coming back and shooting 67 today, which allows him to keep a one-stroke lead. So, as a signature event, there's the leaderboard is as stacked, truthfully, as you will see it all year, truthfully, probably. You got Shane Lowry at second. You got Sepp Straka, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy. So it is a very packed event with a lot of best players. And then
Craig,
you.
we haven't seen much of these big name players recently. But I would presume because this is the big money event that you're going to see these big name players there now. So are they there for the money?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And And also because, you know, they're only allowed to skip one. So Rory skipped the one right after the Masters. Scotty is skipping this week after his win last week. So, you know, and I hate to be the person that always does this, but, you know, the idea of why they needed more money was to get the players, the top players in the world, to come and get together more often. Well, you had Rory skip the one, and you've had Scotty skip the one. It doesn't seem like that they're necessarily working, in my opinion, because they thought that the money was what's going to make all these players play, and that, you know, you had to put in a rule that they can only skip one. Why? I thought that was the idea, that they all wanted to play for more money, and that's it. So obviously it's not the biggest thing.
Right. Who's Keith Mitchell, Dr. Bob? Has anybody ever heard of him?
His mother. But, you know, I just, let's see, I was just trying to catch up with Keith. He's played with so many great players over the years in his rounds, from Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's 33 years old.
We know his name. I mean, we know him, but give me a little bit of detail about him.
Okay, University of Georgia, and he's got one career win, and that was the Honda Classic right down the street from me. So Keith is a very steady player, and I give him all the credit in the world to try to make a breakout and look a kind of field he's up against. If he could pull this one off,
well, you know, I mean,
it's pretty amazing, wouldn't it be?
He's got the one stroke lead, but he did go out and shoot a 61 under par. I made that up, everybody. Don't write to me. He shot a 61. Uh-huh. I mean, my goodness gracious, how good is that, guys? Mm-hmm. And then he comes back with the 67. But Shane Lowry's there, and I know he's going to be playing well. My buddy Sepp Straka's there, full television show with Sepp. He's doing everything he possibly can to get back on that Ryder Cup team coming up. And then JT, he's back playing. There's Rory. I mean, they're all there. Colin, Badia, Patrick, Homa, Dietrich, Ricky Fowler's in there, Woodland. I mean, all the big names are there. I think when you look at a tournament like this, they're there for the money. They're there for the FedEx Cup points. I think they're there because they're under obligation to be there as well. Now, there are 72 players. Is that right, Craig? And,
yep.
You know, these guys are playing for all the money on the earth and, you know, the glory and, you know, the points, FedEx Cup points. And, you know, there's no cut. And so they can just relax, you know, like Jim Colbert used to do, put their collar up, depending on the weather, and just relax with it, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice, in certain ways, it's a nice way to ramp up, you know, for next week's major. Yep. You know, they're on the East Coast, so it won't be a big flight down to Charlotte from Philly. It'll probably be less than a two-hour flight, probably an hour and 20-minute flight. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if certain guys maybe were there on Monday and then came up there on Tuesday. That wouldn't have surprised me to get a quick round in at Quail Hollow, just to come up that way. So, you know, it, as I was telling a friend yesterday, many of these players had not played this golf course before this week. It's just a unique golf course and a facility that not many of those players have probably ever played. And to see those players go out and shoot those numbers, whether it's a soft golf course or not, is just amazing to me. It just tells you how good all their skills are.
It tells you how good they are, but it also tells me that when you look at the top six or seven players and everybody is shooting in the low to mid 60s, I mean, okay, so Colin shot a 63 and then he came back with a 70. Badia shoots a 63, comes back with a 70. But then you got to go down many more before you finally get to Ricky, who shoots a 63 and then a 71. Are they setting up the courses on purpose, Craig, so that they can play lights out golf? They're all not that good. You tell me where I'm going wrong. Are they?
Well, it might be a little bit, but, you know, with the smaller field, they shouldn't have to be worrying about pace of play or anything like that. So you wouldn't think they'd have to do that. So I don't know. I didn't really watch a ton of it. You know, like I said, it's been a long time since I played the golf course, and I know they redid it. But it's, I know they've had a little bit of rain up there, which means if you get soft greens, they can attack it, and they can attack it. They're going to shoot light numbers. They're just going to shoot it light out.
So. Now, Dr. Bob, Craig just brought something up when he said pace of play. So we're going to divert a little bit away from this leaderboard and this PGA event, because I want you to tell me about Wissahickon course in Flower Town, PA, Pennsylvania. My son was born in Pittsburgh. I was put there when I was in corporate. When I say put there, I mean I really was put there. But anyway, great town, great sports town, great people. Loved Pittsburgh. I affectionately called it Pittsbury because it's a small town compared to Phoenix. Very Midwestern. I just loved it. But I want you to tell us about it in a minute. Okay, let's go to pace of play, because I have it on the radio production notes to talk about this today. I had a very long conversation with a person that I will not name them. But if I did, you would know who they are. Let's just say that they are a very, very, very well-known name in golf. We're going to leave it at that. Had that conversation earlier this past week, and it was about pace of play. We talked about what the LPGA is doing. Bob, you can clue us in. We talked about what the PGA Tour is trying to test a little bit here and there, although I don't know if that's going to work. We also talked about range finders. Are they going to speed up play or slow up play? I even spoke about that when I interviewed Julie Inkster last week. And boy, did she have a couple of interesting things to talk about when I brought that subject up. That TV show will be airing soon. We're putting it together. And you're going to love Julie Inkster's episode on Match Play with Ray Adams. Pace of play. At the end of the call, I hung up, came in my office and sat down, and here's what I thought. It had not been brought up during the call, Craig and Bob. But here's what I thought. Please tell me where I'm going wrong. Craig, how long does it take for recreational golfers to play a par four about, on the average, about?
Oh, 15, 17 minutes.
Perfect. You would agree, Bob?
Yes, yes.
How often are tee times released to where the starter puts them out on the course, Craig, about on the average on golf courses all over the country?
Oh, probably 9 to 10 minutes, probably.
So therefore, if we go 18 times 4 minutes, tell me if my math is wrong, the golf courses are setting up slow play. They're putting too many foursomes out in too little tee times, for enough as far as the time apart from each other, to where everybody's going to pile up automatically. This is not an indictment against golf courses. I'm the biggest golf course fan on the planet. I'm for the golf course owners, PGA of America. I mean, on and on it goes. But when you look at the math, tell me where I'm going wrong, Craig. If it takes 16, 18 minutes to play a par four, and we can, you know, fix the math and the number of minutes for the fives and the par threes, but let's say the average is 16, 17, 18 minutes, but they're putting them out every 10 minutes, we got a problem.
Well, that's why course design and routing is very, very important, right?
But why not put them out every 15 to 18 minutes?
Well, they could, and they did a lot of times during COVID, and then a lot of times your, you know, price of a round would probably almost double.
So wait a minute. What did I just hear him say, Bob? Craig, clarify that for me.
Well, if you're going to put them out every 15 minutes, that means you're only going to get 16 golfers an hour on a golf course.
So you're going to lower your revenue.
You're going to lower your revenue. So you got to, you know, you got to be able to get people on there, which means if you're paying $150 a round, now you're going to pay $300 a round.
Well, okay. That's sort of, I guess you could certainly, you know, go there, but in order to not lose revenue per round, they would have to raise the green fees, or they would actually speed up play by putting them out at the regular tee times of, call it 15 minutes apart, let everybody play their 15-minute holes, 16, 17-minute holes. The course loses revenue, or, like Craig said, they might have to raise it to speed up play. Bob, am I in the middle of some bizarre position here where someone's going to throw a golf ball at my head, or am I on track here? If you want to speed up play, put the golfers out farther apart.
That's the math and the right answer to use as you define it, but there's also another element involved in it that people don't really use very well, and that's the golf cart itself. Is the golf cart slowing or helping the pace of play? And I maintain that it's like an antidote to pace of play. It really doesn't help at all. I just don't think it's helping at all. I think a pace of play is improved many times by either pulling or having a caddy. And I've watched it many, many years work in the right way to help these people. If they can walk, okay. If they can't walk, they use a golf cart. But there's rangers that are supposed to help the pace of play. They don't really follow through with it. So you're getting two different animals here. You're getting a ranger that can't improve pace of play once those groups are out on the golf course, and you get a starting position that is contrary to the average amount of time it takes an amateur to play a par four hole.
Okay. So are all the golf course owners going to hate my guts, Craig, for saying this?
Well, no, I just think there's, and everybody on this podcast would agree. It's not just strictly a one thing. It's something you used to say before every show or during each show, which was pay the correct tees. Golf courses are not, I'm a big part of how they're designed. Most golf courses are designed much too difficult for the majority of people that play this game. So they play tees that they can't play, and it just leads to a big problem.
But Craig, hang on. And Bob and all you listeners, golfers have the biggest ego of anybody in any sports from a recreational standpoint, massive egos. They want the golf course to be hard. They need it to be hard. They love it when it's hard because they can get up there and play whatever tee they want. Say they played a hard golf course. I paid my money and I'm going to take my time.
Oh, I don't disagree that golfers are sadists and Americans.
I said they have a big ego. I didn't say they're sadists, but go ahead.
And they have a big ego. And they believe that if they pay $300 for a round of golf, they should be able to do whatever the hell they want.
Absolutely, they do.
I've heard them say that at all.
Well, I've heard them say it, and so have you, Craig.
You know,
don't send a ranger out after me. I paid my money. I'm gonna take my time.
You know, and that's a different problem altogether. Of you know, I'm out here having my good time, and I don't care about the other 90 people that are supposed to play behind me right now.
Yeah, but the other 90 people are the same people. They're recreational golfers.
Oh, not necessarily. You'd be surprised.
Well, okay, what's the difference? 10 to 15% leeway there that are the more serious? They want to play quicker? Look, I'm a fast player. My first time at St. Andrews, I played in 2 hours and 40 minutes. They clapped hands for me on the 18th green at St. Andrews Old Course because they never believed I would do it. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you I am by nature – a quick player. You know, I hit the ball. I think between the next shot. I'm a recreational player. I'm an average handicapper, you know, especially with two torn rotator cuffs. But Bob, I mean, I would say that 80% of recreational players, and I've interviewed them over 25 years, so I know I'm somewhere within, you know, reasonable comments here. They just have the ego, and you know, they'll get up there in the desert where we don't have any trees. They'll find a leaf somewhere, and Craig, you know this, they'll stand on the tee and they'll throw it in the air 4 or 5 times to try to figure out the wind.
And where do they learn that, Ray?
From TV.
Okay. I mean, I grew up mimicking Keith Hernandez in St. Louis playing first base like he did, because that's who I saw. So, I mean, if you got slow play on the greatest tour in the world, why wouldn't you expect that to funnel down to everybody else?
I grew up mimicking my father and the men's league at Papago Golf Club, where I was dropped off. I've talked about that a lot here in Phoenix, one of the great, great championship courses in Phoenix. And they would drop me off in the morning. I'd play 36 to 54 holes. The guys of the league took care of me while my dad and mom went to work at their businesses, because they feared my father. He walked around with their money in his pockets. He was a plus one or two. Most of them were very, very scratch-like players. And you didn't pick up a leaf, and you didn't try to find the wind. You went to your ball, you hit your ball, you went to the next ball, and you hit it the next shot, and then you kept going. And these guys played golf in 4 hours at the most. And that's how I learned to play. Bob?
I followed the rule of my dad, and my dad was never a slow player. And I watched him approach a shot. He visualized the shot before he hit it, and always 90% of the time he hit it just the way he intended it. That told me that he is prepared before he walked there. And we weren't riding in golf carts. We were walking, and we had a good pace of play. We kept up with everybody. And our little golf course in North Iowa, 9 holes. I don't think I ever had to wait more than 5-7 minutes on some of the shots, because people were moving along at a good pace. They just knew it when they started off and played that round of golf. And it wasn't an easy little 9-hole golf course either. So that's
no,
where I
that
learned
was off the expectation, Bob.
Yes, but I learned my pace of play by that. That's what I'm trying to say.
And in a small town like that, there was definitely peer pressure.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
Are range finders going to speed up play? First Bob and then Craig, because we know that they're being looked at. And then, of course, the question is, do you allow the players to go ahead and turn on slope? Because we had a player that recently penalized themselves for having slope on the rangefinder, and currently you're not supposed to. So the LPGA Tour, PGA Tour, what about rangefinders, Bob?
I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think it's going to help.
I don't think we should do it at all. They're still going to consult their caddy. The caddy is still going to have all the stats. They're going to have walk the course. They're going to know every angle, every inch, every blade of grass, and they're still going to talk to the caddy. Craig, you know, again, where am I going wrong somewhere over here?
Well, we've had range finders now for what, 25 years? Has pace of play gotten faster anywhere else?
No.
Okay.
Listen, I love rangefinders. I have a wonderful rangefinder sponsor coming on board with me. I also want to thank, while I'm at it, a rangefinder company, Pinned Golf. They're not a sponsor. They don't pay me a dollar, but they just sent some rangefinders as gifts and donations to Maryland's Tee and the Golf It Forward Foundation, golfitforward.org, in honor of Marilyn Smith, one of the 13 founders, in the big event that went on all last week from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I want to thank Pinned Golf big time for that, along with Squares Golf Shoes, Tour Edge Golf. They all donated. Bucket Golf donated, the great game. And so I want to thank everybody for being a part of it. All right. I don't think you're going to ever speed up play unless you start putting tee times farther apart. And on tours, you give a warning. And then the second time, you charge a stroke. Now, I've said this before. We've had the talk. We're going to end it now. Craig, should we invoke a stroke penalty? on the pro tours worldwide.
Yes. Do they get a warning in football when they make a penalty? Why do you have to warn them?
Well, we've been in the tradition of warning people of this, and then you go back the second time.
And look where it's gotten them.
Nowhere.
Okay. So why? Do they get a warning on if they make a foul in basketball?
Bob?
They get a warning. Do they get a warning in hockey when they cross-check somebody? Oh, next time you cross-check somebody, we're going to give you no.
You don't get a warning. You don't get a warning if you commit icing, right?
It's a penalty.
Okay, so Bob, I love Craig. Craig, I tell you what, buddy. no one is like you.
I know. I get told that a lot.
Bob, what about it?
I'm in the Renshaw ranch right now.
I am too.
I agree with him 100% that there should be no warning. It should be always automatically before you tee off. Here's the rules, sports fans. Here's the rules, millionaires. Let's go at it. You move.
But the players, what is it? The players, you know, they're the committee that guides all of them, governs all the players. And Tiger is like, you know, big. I wonder what Tiger would have to say about slow play and penalizing PGA Tour players. What do you make of it? What do you think Tiger would say about it?
He
by the way,
care.
Tiger
he
was never
care.
Accused of being a slow player. I don't think. I don't remember that.
That's because he won, right? And he was carrying the tour. Same thing with Jack.
But he didn't win every tournament he was in. He won, obviously, a majority, but there were a lot of other great players that won all through the Tiger years, and I don't know that they played slow either. And let's go back an era before that. Do we have slow players in history, Dr. Bob? You're our historian, that were in the Hogan, Nicklaus, Palmer. Do we have a bunch of slow players? Casper, Watson, Irwin, do we have a bunch of slow players over there, or did they hit the ball and go to it and hit it again?
It wasn't as focused and microscopically analyzed as it is today, but there were definitely slow players way back. And it's, I can go back all the way to Leo Deagle. I can go back to some moments with Doug Sanders, took forever and ever to hit a shot.
Well, I knew Doug.
Bernard was terribly slow.
I can go to a bunch of them. Yeah. At the top of my head, but I'm just saying this is not a one-time generational problem. This is an all-time generational problem.
All right. When we come back, Craig Renshaw and Dr. Bob, Denny and I are going to be talking a lot more. We'll look back at the Truist Championship leaderboard. Dr. Bob has nuggets. We know that, Craig and everybody else. All I need you to do is stay with us. And there are some very important sponsors. And they are so important that we can continue to bring you great golf talk, entertainment, and lots of fun, and promote your upcoming nonprofit events, no matter what they are or where they are in the country. They could be golf events. They could be any other sort of a nonprofit event, a gala ball, whatever it is. You let me know and write to me at golfadams@msn.com. We're going to be back in a minute. Listen to these sponsors' messages that you're going to want to know about.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our Golf Performance Center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, greetings and welcome back to Great American Golf, everybody. Ray Adams here with you the rest of the hour, and Dr. Bob Denny, emeritus historian from the PGA of America, and we've got a PGA championship, and we're going to turn our attention to talk about that here in just a moment. And of course, Craig Renshaw, our wonderful instructor, and who comes up with some lines. I'll tell you, sometimes, Craig, I think I should be writing them down. The good news is they're all recorded. Yes, and now, sir. And now they live up on all these iHeart and Pandora and Apple and Amazon and Spotify and all these platforms. So the comments are going to be there forever. Go to thegolfnewsnet.com. And then you're going to be able to hear the radio shows multiple times on Saturday. Then you're going to be able to hear the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on Monday multiple times. And then from there, they get set up to all those great platforms where you get your podcast. So you probably already have downloaded your apps on your phone. So when you're driving around, you can hear your music and your podcast and all that. This segment is brought to you by GoVacayModeTravels.com. GoVacayModeTravels.com. Now, if you go to that website, you're going to find all about Sarah and Alden. They are travel concierges, but they're certified for a very, very, very small nominal fee. They're going to plan out, do everything for you to make your next upcoming vacation, wedding, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go on the earth. They're the best of the best. GoVacayModeTravels.com. Go there, find out. I'm telling you, they're amazing. All right, this segment is brought to you by North Valley Water Solutions right here in Anthem, Arizona. David Newham at NorthValleyWaterSolutions.com and his son, Bobby Boyd at NorthValleyCartCare.com, NVCartCare.com. They're helping to bring this segment, and a little bit later in the show, we'll have Bobby on. But right now, let's get right back to it. PGA Championship, Dr. Bob, coming up. What's going on?
Well, it's headed back to a really special golf course that was founded in 1959, Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte. And it's had a great history since it opened. It's hosted events over that period of time with 15 major champions who have won on that golf course property, the last being Justin Thomas in 2017. Rory's won there four times in a variety of championships under different titles. He won his very first tour event in 2010 on that golf course with a 62 in the final day. And then 5 years later, he came back with a 61 on that golf course. I would say that man knows the property. And so it's going to be a very interesting championship. He's got the pressure of a Grand Slam off his back. Jordan Spieth is still looking for a PGA championship, and it's probably not in quite the form that Rory was in to come into that, but he's playing much better. But the nice thing is that it's a good golf course. It's had some, it's touch-ups and renovations. It's really a special place, and I give a lot of credit to Charlotte. When I visited that golf course, I was very impressed by the support. I was very impressed about the management of that golf course. And even though it was built in 1959, I felt like I was going back in the time even further than back by the way they handled it.
Okay. You look at the PGA Championship and you look at Jordan Spieth. Bob, let me start with you and then I'm going to Craig. And folks, weigh in with questions, comments, golfadams@msn.com. We'll get to them. Jordan Spieth has won which major tournaments, Bob?
He's won the U.S. Open twice. He's won the Masters twice. Excuse me, the U.S. Open twice, Masters twice. Is it right? And one Open Championship. Does that sound right?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. So
Okay.
it doesn't
Okay.
matter. He's won a US Open, a British Open, and a Masters. So he is the next one that we're waiting for, which we waited for Rory for ever how long. Phil will never get it. He can't win a US Open. He had a million tries. It's never going to happen.
Right.
So the next one to join the pantheon of the career Grand Slam is Jordan. Is there anybody else out there?
After three majors at this point, no, not at currently at three
Well,
majors.
what has Koepka done?
Two majors, the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship.
Therefore, he's got to win a Masters first before anything else.
That's correct.
Okay. So Jordan is the one that we're all hanging on to win a PGA, which was Arnold Palmer's the bane of his existence. He could
Correct.
never win it. Can Jordan Spieth win a PGA and join the career Grand Slam, becoming what number
Seven, seven.
seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, seven. Can he do it?
He's certainly capable. He's got the age on his side. My biggest problem with Jordan Spieth is not on the greens. My picture is off the tee. I just see he's so inconsistent. He's all over the map sometimes when he's trying to get back on the golf course. He has to recover so much. He's a wonderful player on the recovery side, inside 100 yards, a great approach putter, but he's got to get off the tee much better than that.
Greg, can Jordan Spieth win a PGA championship?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's got to get healthy. It sounds like he's getting healthier. I would sit there and say, let's give him, the rest of the season to try to get healthy and then see how he starts getting comfortable next year. I know that's kind of a cruddy answer, but I don't see anything changing a whole lot right now till he gets himself under there and gets comfortable again.
Well, I know that he has the game to do it. The question is, will it eat away on him that this is where he's at, like it did with Rory forever? I mean, when you know you have one, you've got to win to be on that pantheon, in that pantheon of golfers. I think it becomes a mental thing, Bob.
Oh yes, and
I mean, they're
as you know,
that good. I mean,
yes.
they can easily win. They've won all these other majors, so we don't
And
have to worry about that part. But go ahead.
Rory took a lot of time. Was it almost 11 years? Is that right?
Yep.
Between his chances to win a major again, and
Yep.
went from Valhalla over to the Masters.
Yeah.
So Jordan, like I said, is a compelling person to watch on the golf course. And I enjoy watching the young man play, but I just all it, like I said, he's all over the map when he's off the tee. And I think he has the ability to do it. I think he has, I think he's finally through some, I don't think he's had major health problems. And I think that's what that's important. But you really have to be so darn consistent in a major championship. And it's not all putting. There's a lot of breaks involved as well.
Well, there is a lot of bounces of the ball here and there and back and forth. Look, if we could put a player together of our dreams, we would put Rory's driver and Jordan's scrambling, and maybe Colin Morikawa's iron play, or Craig, who else is going to give us a clinic in iron play? And we would have a superhuman that would win 30 majors. But that's never going to happen, Craig.
Well, yeah, I mean, the game's got to evolve a little bit. You got to have a lucky week. You got to have a week that maybe somebody else doesn't play. There's so much luck that's involved in winning a major. And, I would say Jordan's got to start winning again. And just in general, I don't care if he wins the major. I mean, whether or not Rory won his Grand Slam, the one thing Rory has really done consistently over the time, that 11 years, is he consistently won. Jordan hasn't won much in the last, 6 years. He really hasn't. And before you can be really considered somebody that's going to win a major, you got to put yourself consistently on the leaderboard and win. And to his credit, that's what Rory's done. Jordan, I think Justin's got four more victories now than Jordan did. And Jordan was six or seven in front of him for a long time. Now, Justin's just kind of started winning consistently a little bit at a time.
All
And
right.
Jordan's just not winning. He needs to win. And I, like I said, I think part of it, a large part of it, was the hand injury, the wrist injury, and he needs to start winning again.
Well, he
Ray,
absolutely
Ray.
does. Go ahead, Bob. Do you have a nugget for us?
Not the. I was going to precede my nugget with just to mention that I keep thinking that Jordan had more majors. He has three majors, and he gave one of them away to Danny Willett on the back nine at the Masters.
Right.
But he. He has three majors to his credit. And just like Craig says, he has to win other events to set himself up and build that trend. That's how
Well,
these players have the opportunity to get into that movement.
but you would say that Koepka needs to do the same thing. Of course, he can't now. They won't let him play. But Koepka's got all these majors. So, I mean, my goodness gracious. I don't know that anybody cares about, I say anybody cares. I think everybody would like to see all these great players play week in and week out against each other. And I think that LIV needs to be poured into the same recipe as the PGA Tour. Now, I'm not for or against LIV or the PGA Tour or anybody or anything. What I'm for is great golf entertainment, because that is exactly what all sports are. They're entertainment. My opinion, gonna give you the final word, Craig. 25 seconds. What about it?
Well, it'll be interesting to see who, if Keith Mitchell can keep up this weekend, or how he sets himself up. If one of the established players comes up from behind and wins, that's great. And see who's in really good form for next week. I mean, Rory won at Augusta. He's in fine form right now. He's fine-tuning for next week. It's a golf course he loves. He's definitely the favorite down there. And then you're thinking of a Grand Slam of a different type. So that'll be interesting.
All right, there he is, Craig Renshaw. He's our PGA professional. Greg, have a great
Thank you, Ray.
weekend. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with Craig on Monday on the Golf Lifestyle Show, right here on the golfnewsnet.com and on all the big platforms where you listen to your podcast. Dr. Bob, help me to welcome Bobby Boyd. He is an Anthem family-owned and operated business up here in North Phoenix, where I live and where this show emanates from all over the globe. And Bobby's been on with me before. He's got a great business, the North Valley Cart Care Company. Bobby, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Bobby, what does North Valley Cart Care do?
Well, we do pretty much everything to do with golf carts. We've got towing services, on-site services for battery change outs, tire repairs, all your normal basics, and then we also have a repair shop to do some of the bigger things, full lithium upgrades. Cart facelifts, that's a big thing going on in the summer up here
What's
because
that?
we call it a cart facelift. So basically, you've got your cart and you're ready to have a new cart, but you don't want to spend the new cart money. So you basically, we take it apart, we get it new paint, new upholstery, new accessories, top to bottom, and get it back to you. And basically, you'd never recognize it when you get it.
Bobby, when you talk about batteries in golf carts, and there's different kinds, and it depends on if you have one that's a few years ago model, or if you have a brand new one that you just paid money for. Talk about batteries, because I just had one of our listeners write to me and say, please ask him about batteries. Why are they so expensive?
Well, battery prices are going up in general. The biggest thing is when you talk about batteries, you get what you pay for. So really you want to look at longevity and quality versus that price. So we currently represent Eco Battery for our lithium upgrade product. It's a great company. The engineering firm is based in Utah, so everything is close. And they've just come out with now a 10-year warranty. They increased their warranty from 8 years to 10 years for the next generation of their lithium
Wow, very
product.
cool.
So batteries are going up just because of general demand and obviously, everything else going on. But battery prices are going to continue to rise, especially in your lead acids, because more and more people are going to lithium. I think you're just not getting as much of a demand for them.
Golf carts were the original electric vehicle. And then along came Tesla and other manufacturers, and they've got batteries, and those batteries are outrageously expensive. So I think we're in an electric motor vehicle world, aren't we, Bobby?
Oh, absolutely. And what you really got to look at when you're looking at batteries and looking at the we'll say the longevity, you really got to look at the product. If this is a cart that you like, it's good, there's no damage to it, it runs great, then the investment is really in the product at that point. You're going to put something in there that you could have this cart for another 10 years
Sure.
and have at it. And the nice thing,
Absolutely.
you don't have the water you have to put in the lead acid batteries, all those things.
Here's another question just came in, Bobby Boyd from North Valley Cart Care. Bobby, they want to know about tires. Why do they see let me read the question. I want to be precise. I'm seeing some cracked edges around my tire. Why are my golf cart tires looking like they're dried out? What does that mean, Bobby?
Well, there's a few possibilities of that. So one possibility could be age of the tire. With our arid climate and driving through the desert, things like that, you're going to dry out that rubber. So that's called dry cracking or dry rot. But if you're seeing them on the actual edge of the tire, like on the, if you're looking at the side of it, almost on the face where your brand name is, check your tire inflation. Because if you're
Oh.
underinflated, it's going to crunch that part at the bottom and it will start putting those lines and those cracks in it.
Are golfers remiss, in your opinion, as you service all these various hundreds of golf cars? Are golfers remiss in checking tire pressure routinely?
Unfortunately, yes. And the reasoning is it's not like a car tire. Oftentimes, you won't even know that it's flat by looking at it. Because there's not enough weight on the golf cart to really show that it's smashed down. So
My
in
car gives me
Yeah, well
a
most of
little logo on the right behind my steering wheel, right in front of my face, and it says, check tire pressure now.
Sure. And if you go back 20 years ago, you could feel the tire was flat. If you walked up, you looked, the tire was flat because the rim was sitting on the ground. I could take a standard, the newer style you're talking about, people do a lot of the low profile tires with the bigger rims, because they look nice and they are real nice, but those tires are built so strong on the outsides, you don't visibly see it until you start driving it, and then that's when you can start causing the damage.
Okay, Bobby, what's the number one accessory to enhance their golf carts that the folks are asking you for?
Number one accessory. That's a tough one. We've got about three that are really, really pushing. Everybody wants a stereo. And
They want a stereo.
yeah, everybody wants a
You
radio.
mean to tell me that they can't just put an earbud in their phone and have the music on Pandora and where they hear this podcast all these Wonderful play.
You want something so you and your passenger listen to the same thing. So we put a lot of undermount stereo systems in the RXVs and some of the other, you know, more common brands, and it just Bluetooths to your phone.
All right.
You don't need to take up a lot of space to still have music.
What's so the next one?
The next one we have, everybody's wanting extra coolers.
Coolers?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You mean they want more ice for their Cokes in the
exactly.
Where do you put it?
Well, most carts customarily they only come with one cooler on the driver's side.
Right.
So we can take off whatever accessories on the passenger side, and stick an extra cooler there. We've got 12-quart Igloo coolers that are nice and hold up real well in the Arizona heat.
Now, when you play golf in Florida in the humidity, forget about the Atlantic seaboard. Forget about the Midwest. Forget about the Deep South. Forget about the heat of the high desert West. Wouldn't you think that everybody would want to have an air conditioner?
And I would say I would agree with you. Now
But they don't. They don't ask you for that.
They don't work real well. As far as what I've seen, unless you really have an enclosure or you're stopped, because you can have an air conditioner on, it'll blow cold air, but once you start driving, that air just goes away. So what we actually do is we have another system where it's a mister. So I don't know if you've seen a lot of outdoor porches out here in Arizona. You've got that mister system that
cools. I have one. They work great. They lower your temperature 15, 20 degrees.
We have the exact same thing. It's two built-in standalone fan with a mister sprayer in the center, runs down, and there's a whole pump assembly that mounts underneath the cart with a water reservoir. And you turn that on, and that mist coming through you really cools the air.
Unbelievable.
Battery anywhere near as much as those air conditioning systems go. The water reservoir can make it on full blast the whole time. You get almost 14 holes through, and then it starts running out of water. So what?
Well, you know, nothing is perfect.
If you run it on low, it'll run through the entire round.
All right, you've been listening to Bobby Boyd. He is the owner and purveyor of North Valley Cart Care, nvcartcare.com. Bobby, thank you so much for joining Great American Golf today. Say hi to your dad for me and North Valley Water Solutions. I'll get him on here pretty soon, too. I love that you're an Anthem family-based business. Love that you're taking care of the golfers up in the North Phoenix area. And everything that you do, I mean, we've got to have people like you. And as far as I know, you're really the only one up in the North Valley area. I haven't seen anybody else running around, but I do see you out there running around when I'm driving around the North Valley area. So, Bobby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you do.
NVCartCare.com, right, Bobby?
Yes, it is.
There they are, folks. Go catch up with Bobby on nvcartcare.com and make sure you let him maintain your golf cars. All right, there he is, Bobby Boyd. Dr. Bob, you've got a nugget. We've got about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left. Let's do a nugget.
Okay, Ray, we're following up a gentleman who knows a lot about golf cars. The very first golf car was invented by Lyman Beecher in 1932.
Wow.
It was a rickshaw style cart. But my nugget relates to a man whose birthday is celebrated today, 155 years ago. Harry Vardon was born in England. And he is the only man that currently has a trophy named on both sides of the ocean in his name to honor the best scoring average, the Harry Vardon Trophy. And he won six open championships over 20,000 miles between Canada and Florida to give 50 matches of exhibition in 1900. That man traveled well, thanks to A.G. Spalding. All credit to great Harry Vardon.
What a great nugget. Thank you so much. And speaking of another, you know, company that's fabulous, and they've been around forever, they're iconic, legendary. I am sporting my newest and latest Ashworth Golf, and the Golf Man is alive. Freddie Couples wears the Golf Man, Ashworth Golf. I'm an ambassador. And they just sent me this beautiful new black golf a shirt, you should see the appointments on this shirt. The way they built it and the coloring and extra fabric and the striping. I mean, I could brag on it and on it and on it. But I'm so excited, and you'll see me in it on Sunday out interviewing the winner at the Big Epson Tour event, the Carlisle Arizona Women's Golf Classic at the Scottsdale TPC. You can go to ashworth-golf.com. Finally, Dr. Bob, we've got to give Don Ray, your boss, one of them at the PGA of America, congratulations, because his golf course here in Phoenix, Augusta Ranch Golf Club, just won several awards. Did you know that?
I haven't heard that, but all congratulations to Don.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to give you the last word. Let's move on. We have Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Blessings, safety, joy, great, meaningful memories with family, friends, and neighbors to all the moms out there everywhere. And I'm thinking about my little mom that raised three boys alone, worked four jobs, Bob, to support us and helped us to be able to be raised in Tempe, Arizona, in a wonderful little house, great neighborhood, all Midwestern people. And we even had a swimming pool. And my mom passed away a few years ago, but my mom, Dottie, knows that her three boys worshiped her. Bob, final word for you.
Well, I never thought I'd live long enough to see an American and be elected pope, but I have that. And
Absolutely. Wow.
I think about my mom, how she would have been overjoyed to have seen that happen. But she got to see a couple popes while she was living in one in person. And I also think about the way she supported me in the game of golf. She was always one there to say, "You go out and have fun, you do it right." And she supported me regardless of what score I brought home.
What a great mom. And Pope Leo the 14th's brother, John, was on Good Morning America today. And he talked about their mom and dad and the support that they received from them and their mom. And it was very heartwarming to hear him talk about his family, his parents, the growing up in Chicago, and the name that he's going to continue to call Pope Leo.
I
Did you
just
hear
like I
it?
like that. Yeah. I still like using the Pope because of the da Bears, da
The
Bulls.
Pope.
I just love the Pope.
Okay. Well, we're excited and happy
He's
no matter.
calling Bob. He's calling him Bob, right?
Rob.
Rob? Okay, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Pope instead of Pope Bob is Pope Rob.
Boy, have we really, gotten to know this family so
But it's fun.
quickly.
It's fun to see that happen, and I think it's good for everybody, and I hope it's good for the world too.
I do too, and I know that it will be, and I know God is going to put many blessings on this Pope and the Catholic Church. I myself am not a Catholic. My family members, some of them are, but I have a great affinity for Catholicism, the history, the theology, as a the great Christian faith that they are. And I commend all of everybody's faith, no matter what that is, on this Mother's Day coming up. We'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, folks. And this is the podcast, Great American Golf, on the golfnewsnet.com. And then going to all the other great platforms.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.